Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Thank you, Jane. Thank you, Henry. Good morning, St. Barnabas. Good morning, St. Barnabas. There we go, that's much better. Okay, so before we get stuck into our passage this morning, I'd like to tell you a quick story. It's about my younger brother, Robert. There he is. Robert is 25 years old, but he has a severe learning disability, which means that in his mind, he's closer to 5 years old. And in fact, his ability to speak is further behind than that. He can only make a few sounds and single-syllable words. But one thing that we, his family, are incredibly grateful for is the fact that he's always smiling. Like in this picture, he always has this enormous grin. And it's a really infectious smile. My dad goes to a lot of meetings for carers of the disabled to share ideas with other carers and make sure Robert's always getting the best care that he possibly can. At one of these meetings, he met a lady who happened to be the prospective MP for the local area, Southampton Itchen, where my family lives. We'll call this lady Joyce. Now, Dad showed a photo of Robert to Joyce, and she said she recognised him. She told my dad that every week she gets the number 7 bus from Southampton Centre to Bitton. And normally on this bus, all the passengers just seem absolutely miserable. Their eyes are downcast, probably just, you know, looking at their phones. Everyone's silent, mouths in this default frown. But every now and again, Robert gets on the bus with one of his carers. He stomps on board, grins his characteristically huge grin, and lights up the place. He looks Joyce and her fellow passengers in the eye, often extends a hand out to shake them, again smiling all the time. And of course, at this point, everyone just cheers up. The mood is completely lifted. What I think Robert has that's so infectious is a deep, enduring sense of joy. Not just a temporary happiness that comes and goes with his circumstances, but an enduring joy that saturates his entire personality. And that's what I want to look at this morning, what I'd like to draw out of today's passage, this idea of an enduring joy. If you'd like to follow along, it's Psalm number 16, which can be found on page 528 of the Church Bibles. As ever, if you'd like a Bible, please stick up a hand and a member of our hospitality team will bring one to you. While they're being distributed, I'll go into a bit of an introduction about the passage. The Book of Psalms is a collection of poems or hymns, originally meant to be sung, that express a wide variety of human thoughts and feelings, from love and adoration to sorrow and fear. Psalm 16 primarily expresses joy. As we read along, I'm going to stop and highlight a few of the key joy passages and discuss their meaning and show how they link together. So again, Psalm 16, page 528. Let's read starting from verse 1. Psalm 16, a miktam of David. That's David, king of Israel. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. David is showing that God is the only one he relies on for his well-being. Even though his friends, his family, servants, advisors, doctors, and so on support King David, all of this ultimately comes from God, his one true source of goodness. I say of the godly who are in the land, they are the noble people in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out their liberations of blood or take their name upon my lips. Lord, you have assigned me my portion and my cup. You have made my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. David is not shy in showing that his eyes are permanently fixed on God, which leads nicely into verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices. Now, here's our first explicit reference to joy. David keeps his focus on God, therefore, he is glad, he rejoices. My body will also rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. As I said earlier, the Psalms are hymns or songs. And the final verse, verse 11, here we get the real crescendo or climax of this particular song. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Here's our second clear reference to joy, joy in God's presence. You may have noticed a shift in tenses here. Verse 9 says, my tongue rejoices, as in present tense. My tongue currently rejoices at this time. Verse 11, you will fill me with joy in your presence. You will, in the future, God, fill me with joy. The different choice of words is very deliberate. Going back to verse 8, if we keep our eyes on the Lord, we will have joy now. That's verse 9. If we keep our eyes on the Lord, we will also have joy in the future after we die, in eternity. Verse 11. Now that all sounds amazing. Trust God, have joy now and forever. But I want to explore two questions at this point. Firstly, what actually is this joy that it's talking about in the passage? And secondly, how do we obtain this joy? In other words, what does it actually mean to keep our eyes on the Lord, as it says in verse 8? So let's delve into these questions. Firstly, what actually is joy? Well, for anyone who's a fan of Pixar films, they might recognize this image. The first thing that might come to mind when we hear the word joy is this character, Joy, from the film Inside Out. Hands up anyone who's seen Inside Out? I think a few more of you have seen it than that. There's a lot of parents in the room. But anyway, for those of you who actually haven't seen Inside Out, and those of you just pretending, let me introduce to you the character Joy. Joy is one of five personified emotions, completed by sadness, fear, disgust, and anger, who live inside the head of a human character called Riley. Each of these emotions controls Riley, with Joy at the helm. Joy's mission in the film is to keep Riley as happy as possible at all times. Now, here's the problem. As great as this film is to watch, Pixar's idea of the role joy plays in us is completely flawed. Most of the world thinks of joy in this way, as just a route to happiness or another word for happiness. But true joy actually transcends happiness. True joy is an attitude, not really an emotion. It's something that lasts a lot longer than mere happiness. Let's look again at the references to joy in our psalm. Verse 9, my tongue rejoices. The Hebrew word rejoices here is gil. Gil means variously to rejoice, be glad, be joyful, delight, the attitude and action of favorable circumstance, often expressed in shouts and song. Now, at first glance, you might think, wait, it says favorable circumstance. So joy is dependent on our circumstances, right? But no, take a closer look. It says the attitude and action of favorable circumstance, not from, but of. In other words, Gil joy is not determined by circumstance, but expresses itself as if in the event of favorable circumstance. So even if things aren't going your way, you can still be joyful as if they are. Joy is not some up and down emotion in constant conflict with anger, fear, sadness, and so on. It's an expression beyond emotion. Another thing to note about this definition is that it says, often expressed in shouts and song. So we can express joy through music. When we worship, we express joy, especially when Andy leads. And in fact, many worship songs are based on psalms like this one. So that's the first of our joy words in Psalm 16, rejoices. But there's actually another hidden joy word in this same verse, verse 9. David prefaces the description of his joyful tongue with the words, my heart is glad. The Hebrew word used here for glad is sormach. Try saying this one with me, sormach. It's quite a nice word to say, quite guttural. That means to rejoice, be glad, delight in, exceeding glad. This isn't glad like, oh, I'm glad it's not raining at the moment, but glad as in, yes, God, I'm so glad that you have given me life in all its fullness. That kind of glad. David doesn't just say, my face is glad, as if his gladness is only surface level. No, he says, my heart is glad. His innermost self, his being, his person is glad. And the final joy word, verse 11, you will fill me with joy in your presence. A bit more obvious, this one. This joy, and this is the final bit of Hebrew, I promise. This joy is simchor. Try this one. Should we have it up on the screen? There we go. Simchor. That's joy, gladness, delight, mirth, exceeding glad, exceedingly rejoice. Simchor joy is closely related to the glad sormach joy of verse 9. So again, the same type of incredible eternal joy we can have with Father God in heaven forever, simchor, verse 11, we can experience now, sormach, verse 9, on this earth. So the joy of the Bible, the joy of the Lord, is not some temporary emotion. It's the state of being that transcends happiness. It's rejoicing, delighting, shouting, singing for joy, exceeding joyfulness. And it's ours now and forever if we let it be. So that's the what of joy. But what about the how? How do we get this joy? How do we obtain it? Particularly, you might think, at this time of year. Christmas is over. New Year is rapidly approaching and will soon be over as well. Soon we'll have to leave behind the delights of spending time with friends and family, opening presents, eating copious amounts of food and being together. Leave it all behind and go back to our jobs, our housework, our normal daily lives. The days are short. It's cold outside. It's wet and miserable. Some of us might be in debt from overspending during the Christmas period. Some circumstances can haunt us all year round. Death, depression, divorce, loneliness. How, through all of these things, can we really expect to be joyful? Well, in case you missed it at the beginning, Psalm 16 has the answer. Verses 7 through 9. I will praise the Lord. I will keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices. Being joyful comes from God. It comes from praising God, keeping our focus on God, shouting to him, praying in his name, reading his word to get closer to him. Should we have the next slide? Thank you. Back to my brother, Robert. I used his story at the beginning as an illustration of this God-given joy. Now, because of his disability, because he can't speak, we don't actually know how much Robert understands about our God. But it's likely that, at least intellectually, he can't know God in the same way that you or I can. But if that's true, take note. If Robert, with his limited, if any, understanding of God, can tap into God's joy so that he is always smiling, always infectiously joyful, how much more can we, able-minded Christians, experience God's joy? Robert actually has a difficult life. I've watched him struggle to communicate with people, struggle to be understood because of his speech impediment, because of his disability. I've watched him hit himself sometimes, lash out or isolate himself because no one gets him. But he still has joy. The reality is, no one is exempt from the circumstances of life, from the difficulties we can all experience. In fact, with Christian persecution on the rise, it sometimes seems that the faithful suffer more than others. But through all the ups and downs of life, we can have God-given joy that transcends those circumstances. But at this point, and this is really important, at this point I need to say, even though we can have joy, we still can and should express our emotions. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 says, there is a time for everything, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. Even though we can have God-given joy rooted in us, we need to still express ourselves to properly process what we're going through. When he encountered the sick and the lame, Jesus expressed sorrow. When his friend Lazarus appeared to die, Jesus literally wept. When traders were using the temple courts for dishonest gain, Jesus, he got mad. So often we're afraid of being overly emotional. And sure, we shouldn't be ruled by our emotions, like the human character Riley in Inside Out. But failing to express our emotions is stifling. It prevents us from moving past our current circumstances, good or bad, and growing in maturity. We're called to deal with situations as they come, express our emotions, but ultimately live in our God-given joy that transcends those circumstances. After Job loses all his possessions, his 10 children all die, and he contracts a horrible skin disease, amazingly, he still has joy. In the book of Hebrews, when the early Christians experienced public humiliation, imprisonment, and theft of all their possessions, they still had joy. When Jesus was beaten to within an inch of his life and nailed upon a cross and left to die, he still had joy. Through all our trials and tribulations, we should have joy. Joy is the best of both worlds. We can have joy because of the amazing things that God is doing in our lives. But we can have joy as well in spite of the rubbish things that sometimes happen to us. So now we know what joy is. It's a state of being that transcends emotion. We know how to get joy, connect with God through prayer, praise, worship, and Bible study. But now we have joy, the next question is, what do we do with it? Well, that's easy. Express it so that others may see and experience this same joy that you have. Joy is a gift, far better shared than kept to ourselves. Joy is a virtuous circle. We can express it in much the same way we receive it. One of the joy definitions from earlier was about expressing joy through shouting and singing. This is something the Bible talks often about, shouting, singing, and dancing joyfully. Now, I'm a huge fan of heavy guitar-led music. When I was a teenager, I went to see a live band almost every month. At these gigs, fans would scream and shout, wave their arms in the air, jump around and bash into each other in celebration of this music coming from the stage. So if teenagers can celebrate so enthusiastically over some good music, how much more can we express joy in our wonderful Creator God through sung worship and dancing? Jesus' followers shouted for joy when he entered Jerusalem on a donkey. When Mary and the other women witnessed the resurrected Jesus, they ran with joy to tell others. When we tell others about Jesus, we must do it with joy so that non-believers can see the joy of the Lord in action. Other passages talk about joy expressed through giving generously, feasting or fasting, all kinds of different things. Again, do these with joy and others will notice. So, joy transcends emotions, obtain joy by connecting to God, and express it through music, singing, dancing, and witnessing to others. The final point we need to remember about joy is this. Joy is forward-focused. Joy anticipates the coming kingdom of God. Back to our passage, Psalm 16. Both Peter and Paul in the New Testament apply the joyful words of the psalm to Jesus' resurrection and therefore the hope of heaven that we now have. Romans 12 talks about rejoicing in hope. Isaiah 61 expresses joy in the prophecy of Jesus the Messiah and the eternal relationship we can have with him. St. Barnabas, seek joy in the Lord. Express joy in the Lord, even in the midst of suffering. Because one day, Jesus will wipe away every tear. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no more crying or pain. Because Jesus will bring us into everlasting joy in him. I'd like to invite the band up, please, and I'm going to close in prayer. Father God, thank you that we can experience joy in you by your Spirit. Help us to tap into that joy every day, even when we don't feel like it, even through the toughest of trials. Help us to express your joy and share it with our friends, our family, and our neighbors. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.